Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about it, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallick.
It's Felica. You made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of this.
You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN.
This stupid update, enough of these updates on the phones.
It's the worst.
Oh, I think this one's actually a good one.
Oh, I hate all of them.
This one's actually been my favorite of the updates, just because you could, with group chats, you can assign an image to a group chat now, which makes it a lot easier to find in the messages.
Oh, yeah, Bill, I saw all the rain.
You can pin it, Mike. What? You can pin the group chat to the top of your thing.
I'm
never going to find a text again.
No, but I hate upgrades for this reason. I'm with Billy. I cannot stand cell phone upgrades because I get so accustomed and used to my settings the way I have it, and then every other week it's like, hey, upgrade. I don't want to upgrade. I just got used to this one. Right.
This time didn't even ask me. It just did it one night. It didn't ask me, said like, hey, we're going to do it tonight. Hey, and I could always say like, nah, let's do it tomorrow. Let's do it tomorrow. This time didn't even ask me. I just woke up and it was there. Now, Stugatz, I'm looking at the weather because you were talking about how good it's been. And there's something that says air quality, 34. Good. What the hell is 34 mean? And what is bad? Now I'm going to be obsessing over what number the air quality is every day.
I have no idea. Listen, if there's a 7, though, as the first number in the temperature, I'm good. And so that's what we have. It looks like all week, you know, somewhere in the 70s.
I can't believe that there's a cold breeze outside. I'm going to go.
There's a cold breeze. Go. You'll feel it. Well, I don't know when the last time you were outside was, though, but I'm telling you, you'll feel it.
Man. April.
Oh, okay. I can't remember what the weather was like back in April.
See, New York's air quality is 15, but right. It's also good. That right. Seems great.
Right.
If lower is better, like golf. Orlando's 26. I mean, what do these numbers mean?
Hold on, we have an air.
I'll be right back.
We have an air quality check from Fat Chris right now. What do you got?
You are not lying. It is delightful out today. Nice little breeze.
I know. I feel like I left a layer short. Like I need another sweatshirt. That's how cold it is. Mike, did you notice it this morning?
No, it's still like miserably humid outside and muggy. I did watch. Oh, I've been watching morning news a lot, and they told me that there's a 7 in front of that number. But I also got immediately depressed because they showed the rest of the nation graphic. And Orlando just seems like a delight to walk outside right now.
Yeah,
68 degrees. I'm like, whoa, where is that? And then you just see it's all blue to light blue. And then at the very tip of the United States is this red little piece of the map. And it's always, for once, I just want to be light blue.
Let me suggest this. Don't go to Orlando and don't walk outside because no one in Orlando thinks there's a pandemic going on. Okay. Been there, done that. Everyone walking around without a mask. I'm serious. Yeah. It is it's the most dangerous place in America right now.
I don't know why you're excluding us from that. It's just as dangerous here.
It really is.
It really is. Although, Mike, congratulations, man. Miami. Not a lot of trick-or-treaters out there.
The rain helped with that.
Yeah. I saw a buddy of mine who went to Kiki on the River, and it was like prime 2018 right there. It was crazy.
Dude, I follow somebody on social media. I'm not going to say their name, that I checked their stories. That place, Kiki on the River, has been popping for like 2 months now. Like every night, like
Corona
nobody's wearing
exist.
Masks. It's just like a full club. I hate that we just named them. We probably shouldn't have done that, but whatever. We're here.
I know one of those IG people that always shows up there, unsurprisingly, over the summer tested positive for coronavirus.
He's probably like, I'm good. I had it. I can party now.
I don't like that we named it either. I've never actually been there, surprisingly enough, but my friends have been there and they say it looks like when you're not, all I've seen from Kiki on the River is through IG's story. So it looks like the most incredible time. But my friend that went there said, it's literally everybody just recording IG stories. No one's actually enjoying themselves. They just take a selfie, shake their shoulders, and then just...
What, they're just trying to show that there are Kikis on the river?
Kiki.
Kiki?
Yeah.
I feel like the restaurant probably doesn't want everyone tagging these big crowds there right now. They're probably like, can you X-nay on the tagging?
Well, you know, if they don't want that, then close. Okay? How's that sound?
Oh.
A little harsh?
Orlando's AQI is 26, Dugatz. That's very good right now.
What does that mean, though? Like, air quality,
Billy, 34? What is good? What is good? Lower is good?
Thank you for asking. Yeah, lower is good. I looked up AQI basics right now on airnow.gov, whatever that is.
Right.
So it's on a scale from 0 to 500. 0 to 50 is good. Air quality is satisfactory and air pollution poses little or no risk. Then we get into the moderates, 51 to 100. Then unhealthy for sensitive groups, 101 to 150. Unhealthy, 151 to 200. Very unhealthy, 201 to 300. And hazardous, 301 and higher. So.
Wow. All right. And where are we right now?
We're at 34 or 36, I think.
So we're right in the, we're in the good zone right now. We're in a good place.
Yeah, we're
right
good.
Now.
We're in the sweet spot, 34 this morning.
Nice.
You guys over at the beach, I think it's like it's 17. So congrats on that. Good AQI over there.
Thanks. Appreciate
What's
it.
What's the AQI in the Clevelander Alley?
The ETA to my house is 3 hours, though. I mean,
I don't get any of that beautiful ocean breeze. All I get is, do we need to pee in garages so bad? Who are these people that are just, I mean, it's a global pandemic. It's not exactly popping down here. You can't just walk to a public restroom. You gotta pee in the garage.
Gotta go.
Constantly? It's just the stench of urine radiating off of this asphalt every day when it's about 93 degrees. There are times where I feel my nose burning and I'm wearing a mask.
Mike, there are so many homeless people down here. Like, that's their home. Our garage is their home.
That's an excellent point.
Yes.
But I don't, maybe, can a Honda Civic be a home because they're peeing right on their tires? Maybe it is someone that's just like, this is my only option. But really, the fourth tier of the 10th Street garage, there isn't a more secretive place that you could do this.
There has to be. Well, I mean, listen, I've urinated in that garage. Have you?
No, Sugaz.
Oh, you haven't. That's unfortunate. Chris, have you?
I'll go with you, Stugatz. Yeah, Allison actually caught me once.
She did?
It doesn't sound, it's not as inappropriate as it sounds. Like, she just like walked around a corner and I was like emerging from a corner and she's like, what are you? I was just like, nothing, not doing anything.
Now, I never urinated on someone's tire. So I understand what Mike is saying, but Mike, I mean, you go in between a car, you hide a little bit. I mean, it's, you know,
I mean, a lot of people are leaving the beach, like Stugatz and myself. We got like a 40-minute drive. Yeah. Like, you don't have time.
You're both leaving a place with a bathroom though. Like multiple bathrooms.
That's a
great
point.
That's a great point.
Yeah. They're just people that are built like this. Yeah. My brother-in-law is one of these people.
Right.
He's at his own house and you'll pee in the backyard. I'm like, your bathroom
I've peed in my backyard.
Away.
I've peed in my backyard.
Too, yeah, I've done that.
Why?
Because we're animals, Billy, and we just like we're living in this earth like animals. Well, and
let me explain.
Sometimes,
why.
Like, you know, there weren't always bathrooms. There weren't always bathrooms.
Let me explain why. If you've ever been in the backyard with a pool, there's no easy way to say it. I have a pool in the backyard. Okay, and so we all do, though. I think you live down here in South Florida. Not we all, but a lot of us do. Anyway, I digress. But if you have a pool in the backyard, you get out of the pool, you don't want to walk in soaking wet, right, and use the bathroom, you just find a place in the backyard, you let it go there. That's it. Or you just do it in the pool. I mean, it depends. For me, I won't go in the pool if my kids are in the pool with me. If they're not, I'll let it fly. That's it.
What are these rules? If your kids are in the pool, you don't go in the pool. But if they're not in the pool, you go in the pool even though they could jump in the pool.
These are pool and peeing rules, okay? That's what I'm trying to say. Now, if I am just in the backyard hanging out and I have to urinate, Billy, I will walk inside and I will take care of my business there. But if I'm in the pool and my kids are also in the pool, I am going to get out of the pool. I don't want to dry off, have to do the whole thing, go inside, do all that. I'll find a place in the backyard, I'll urinate, and I'll hop back in the pool. That's what I'm saying. It's my pool and peeing rule. That's all.
Okay.
The reason that I've peed in my backyard is because I have an alarm So if I happen, you know, on a Saturday night, if I happen to be outside having a few cocktails and I don't want to like open the door and get the alarm beeping,
attaboy.
I'll be like, you know what? I'll just pee out here, save a beep. I don't want to wake up my wife.
Right. And she's like, Chris, you're still out back.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you drinking alone outside in this scenario?
No, I mean, this is like over the quarantine. I might be Zooming. I could have a friend over. You know, I'm just saying, like, I like to not disturb with the beep, the alarm beep.
Sugatz is most certainly having a drink by himself, though. Right.
Oh, no doubt. Yes. Yeah.
You still do the Friday night where you just pull up, say, in your pool and get a bottle of tequila.
Friday night, tequila, Grateful Dead over the Sonos speakers. I sit in the pool. I hang out. You know, let your imagination take care of the rest.
That sounds great. Finny there?
It does sound nice.
You pet Finny?
Well, Finny gets very anxious when I go into the pool. And so we tend to try to hide being in the pool. I don't know why. I have no idea why he gets so anxious, but if any of us go in the pool, he freaks out. So I try not to.
I would say it's an underrated feeling of just, even if you're by yourself, kicking your feet up in the backyard with a cocktail, a little music playing.
It's great.
It's nice.
It's great. Right. And you'll realize, like, you'll have precious few times to do that. All, I mean, for the guys who have young kids, Roy, Chris, Billy, hopefully eventually you'll have one. Mike, you have one right now. You will find those times to be so cathartic. You'll seek those times out because they are far and few between. But then when your kids become teenagers, they don't want to hang out with you anymore. And you'll find that all you do is sit in the pool by yourself and get loaded. Okay?
It honestly sounds like alcoholism.
It is. Yeah.
National football topics from the National Football League.
Okay.
We all took a bath this weekend gambling, it would seem, from the faces in the Zoom.
Yes.
A rough weekend I for did. Us all.
Are you all right?
I may have played Higgins props a little too aggressively.
Who played those Patriot props, though?
Oh, Damian Harris, but Rex Burkhead didn't exactly eat Mina.
No, but Damian Harris did eat, yeah. And I think the insinuation was they'll be able to run the ball.
Yeah, no, I took
belt.
The Cam Newton rushing overs too, so I appreciate it, but oof, I just hemorrhaged. I took a bath on that Rams game.
Can I ask you guys a question? Did you guys find yourself, I'm conditioned to never feel bad for the Patriots, and I didn't feel bad for the Patriots. They've had a two-decade run, unlike any other football team we've ever seen. I found myself feeling bad for Cam Newton yesterday. Like like the agony on his face,
amen,
knowing the reaction that he was going to get from the Boston media and that fan base, and just being a competitor and wanting to win that game, I felt terrible for him.
Yeah, I'm painted as anti-Cam Newton just because I feel like I'm a realist with him, but watching how accountable he is, how difficult that was for him to process – That turnover late in the game is just something that cannot happen. I think he has six turnovers over his last three games. It was going pretty well for him the first 2 weeks. That game that he had against Russell Wilson on Sunday Night Football, it was like, even though they lost, you're like, wow, Cam Newton is absolutely fully back. And over the last few weeks, it feels as though his body is not exactly doing what his mind is telling it to do, I think, because of his age and the injuries. They're just catching up with him, and he knows that he's hurting his team. He's owning up to it, but it's difficult to watch.
Chris, you're about to say, no, you don't feel bad. I understand that, but understand if they win that game, it benefits you as a Dolphin fan. You wanted the Bills to lose that game. You did not want Cam Newton to fumble. No, Chris, you did.
This is bigger than that. I hate the Patriots. I'm done with them. Sorry, Cam. Shouldn't have joined them if you wanted us feeling bad for you. If you would have gone to some other team and had this reaction, maybe I'd feel bad for you. Not with the Patriots. Get out of my life, New England.
Yeah, but they could have helped Buffalo get out of your life.
I don't care. I want them to suffer. I want Bill Belichick to go through a miserable season.
I don't think Belichick minds going through a miserable season.
I want New England to turn on him. I already heard it on like the clips from the internet a few weeks ago. They're already saying that he's over the hill. Like, I want this to end badly for Bill Belichick. I want him to need a job, not after this season. You know they'll give him that one season. But after next season, I want there to be – I just want it all to crumble. I hate that team.
I do wonder how many bad seasons Belichick could have before they fire him. Can Belichick go two decades of, like, 4-12 and they still wouldn't fire him? Get it?
I mean, it happened to Shula. It can happen to anybody. Right. And that fan base is having a very difficult time. And I know the...
Well, it's because Brady's playing so well for the Bucks. That's the problem.
It's hard.
Mike, they would not be having such a difficult time if Brady and the Bucks weren't playing so well.
In the history of that game, no team has ever had a run like that. You've had dynasties before, but dynasties last like 7-8 years max. It has lasted 20 friggin' years.
I know.
There are adult Patriots fans with children that have never had to endure a losing season. They had the one season Tom Brady got hurt. They missed the playoffs. They were still an 11-win team. They are not good losers because they've never had to be.
We should start a new segment called Fly on a Wall. And then on today's version of Fly on a Wall, we all say the conversation we'd most want to hear in all of sports.
Let's do it today.
I think my answer, and I don't think anybody could beat me, is Belichick's real reaction to like how the Patriots are doing and how Brady's doing. Like, I want to be a fly on the wall to get his honest thoughts on whether he made the wrong decision to let Brady go.
I'd go the other way. I want to be a fly on the wall and hear what Brady's saying to everyone.
Nah, but that's obvious, isn't it? I still had it. You don't think I had it anymore? I feel like we know what that conversation
is like. I'd still like to hear it, Tony.
I want to hear Belichick admit defeat. That's the conversation I want to hear.
Chris, I think I have one better than yours. I want to hear when Aaron Rodgers saw the Packers pick Jordan Love in the first round of the NFL draft.
That's a good one.
I want to hear that conversation.
I want to hear the conversation Odell Beckham Jr. was having with somebody yesterday where everyone was saying all week, hey, Baker's better without me, and then Baker had the worst game of his career.
Wow, you haven't been watching Baker Mayfield for his career.
He's been worse than that?
Yeah, he had no
pace.
You know that the Cleveland Browns had six drives? Six drives in the entire game. Six
That's
drives.
That's crazy.
Hasn't happened for 30 years.
How is that possible?
Hasn't happened for 30 years. Baker wasn't terrible. He made a really nice throw, and Jarvis Landry dropped the ball in the end zone. Initially, I was upset about it, but I saw another angle. It looked like he dropped it. Injuries have caught up with the Cleveland Browns. I know it's cliche to say that the bye week has come at the right time, but they are – even their healthy players are hurt. It's bad.
Listen, my apologies to Baker. I had no idea that he's been worse.
Look at the stats, though. He didn't have the interception. He had some bad drops from Jarvis Landry, who's having a difficult time catching the ball this year. Njoku, he is who he is. But Njoku had a back-breaking drop. Baker wasn't the problem yesterday. The problem is they're getting pushed around at both line of scrimmages. Their defense can't get a stop. And right now, at this moment, the Las Vegas Raiders are a better football team than the Cleveland Browns, who now have knee injuries to their three best players. They're just a walking mash unit. They need this week off and dust themselves off. And hopefully, Myles Garrett is okay, because if he's done, they're done.
Back to gambling real fast. Did anybody take the leap yesterday with that 20-point spread? Anybody go Chiefs?
I took Chiefs. It was one of my few wins. I couldn't do it.
I
had Jets on the money line. Yeah. My big bet was the Packers, and then Kirk Cousins, of course. I hate that team. That one killed me.
I
really did.
That one killed me.
That was bad.
I took the Chiefs, but I took the Chiefs with a side of props. I was like, wow, Le'Veon Bell, revenge game.
Right.
Go ahead and pull up. You were talking about how bad Baker was yesterday.
Yeah.
Look at Le'Veon Bell's stat line. Even as a Jet fan, you have to appreciate that one.
Really?
Yeah, because I think we were all like, this is what the good teams do to the bad teams, and Le'Veon Bell is going to teach those Jets a lesson. He was bad.
I'm not even watching the Jets anymore. I mean, I'm telling you, they are actively trying to lose, and I'm happy about it. What was that, Bill?
Baker and Tua had almost the exact same stat line.
I know.
Oh, will you stop with this?
Well, Tua,
it was so windy, though, in Cleveland. Mike, yeah. I know the wind was a problem over there.
Dude, did you see the field goal attempt?
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, it happened. I mean, you're asking a lot. I know that they were so far away from the first down, but Cody Parkey in 40-mile-per-hour winds to try to make it a one-score game at 37 yards out, like there was no shot that was going in. The wind was ridiculous. 40-mile-per-hour winds. But both teams had a play in that, and the Raiders were better at it.
All right, so I'm seeing Le'Veon Bell, 6 carries, 7 yards. But then I glance over to the left, and this is Frank Gore. 10 carries, 30 yards. Perfect. That's a perfect game for Frank Gore. It really is. Billy, anyway, the Dolphins, you're right, he had the same game, but that was a win, and Baker's was a loss. The Dolphins answered a lot of questions yesterday. The one question they wanted answered, they didn't answer it. They have no idea if they have a quarterback. That's tough. That's tough. That's the one thing you were excited about yesterday, and it's the one thing that was not answered.
It's also one game against a team that's, you know, good.
There he is.
They have all season to figure out if Tua's good enough.
To your point, Sugats, while they didn't get any answers on Tua, that's not necessarily a bad thing because they didn't get any of the wrong answers either. You still have no idea.
Right.
So we keep this thing going for another week.
Vilma was hyping it up, though. A couple easy, like, standard passes. He's like, oh, look at the accuracy there. I was like, you're right, Jonathan Vilma.
He also had some drops that could have gotten him bigger plays. Well,
so, who, Baker or Tua?
Well, I guess both. I definitely didn't see Baker.
Yeah, Vilma, we were talking about it at the local hour. Vilma was playing the part. Because he hyped up that touchdown pass to Devontae Parker, that 60-yard pass on the middle of the field in the end zone, as if it was one of the game's great throws.
Notice that Homer Mike Ryan Brown's honk has not mentioned the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers whatsoever in a really good game between Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
You call that game real good?
Yeah, it was a good game.
It was dramatic.
It was a good Steelers-Ravens game.
It was tight.
For those two teams.
I think there are, and this is takes one and no one, right? Spider-Man meme. Obviously, the Browns are looking for answers at the quarterback position, and there have been encouraging spots with Baker, and there have been discouraging ones. I can't have a conversation about any of the other AFC quarterbacks without eating my own crow. I get that. But Lamar Jackson is certainly not the same player he was last year. I don't know the reasons behind it. Defensively, teams are not doing really different things. He's just not executing in the same way. And kudos to Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers for winning this game on the road and staying undefeated. Last two games, Road Ben is still very much a thing.
Yes.
Road Ben is still very much a real quantifiable thing, but it doesn't matter because they were better than the Ravens, and the Ravens are third best in that conference. The Steelers are a freaking problem.
Mike, Lamar Jackson, have the numbers dipped off, tailed off that much? Because I haven't really. I think what they try to do with Lamar is they are so dead set on trying to prove to everyone that he can be a drop back passer that sometimes they try to go to that too much and just don't let Lamar play like Lamar plays, which they did last
year. He's really good in the middle of the field. And Mina said if they're doing anything differently, opposing defenses, that is, it's that they're trying to take away Andrews. And Andrews' production has dropped off, even though he had a total mare against the Kansas City Chiefs. Andrews isn't putting up the same sort of fantasy numbers, I guess, that he had last season. Lamar, that was a weird game because if that game was maybe two plays longer, the Ravens maybe find a way to edge it out. But I have questions about the quarterbacks where people might be encouraged with Pittsburgh. They still got to win a road play. Well, probably not considering their record. If they have to go on the road, I think it's an issue. But if they end up getting home field throughout the playoffs, that's a very difficult defense, and they might actually make it to a Super Bowl, and it will freaking kill me.
I think virtually every team outside of Kansas City would take Lamar Jackson.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Reigning MVP.
Well, I'm not certain the Chargers would, though. I'm serious,
yeah,
man.
Well, would the Bengals? Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably. We're talking about
Joe
the reigning
Burrow's
MVP.
Really good.
The Dolphins
man.
Are not taking Lamar Jackson. We have the answer.
Chris,
problem solved.
You take him tomorrow. I mean, you would.
That's true.
I mean, I would.
You think Tua has a ceiling of being an MVP?
Tua can be Drew Brees. That's what he can be.
You really think that?
No.
I'm just saying ceiling. I'm saying
Chris,
with the accuracy.
His ceiling is an MVP.
Chris, the ceiling.
His ceiling
the,
is.
The like ceiling's one of the 10 best quarterbacks of all time. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying. He people say he's deadly accurate. He's short. I'm just saying, like, that's what the ceiling is. I'm not saying he's going to get there.
Right. I mean, Lamar does still have 12 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He's just not running as much. I think they're taking that element, and they're trying desperately to take that element away.
One of the things that I see Ravens fans complaining about is that the offense is boring and very conservative and not really getting the most out of Lamar Jackson, to which I say he just won an MVP with the same offensive coordinator. Maybe it's boring by design. Maybe they know exactly what his deficiencies are. People like to question Greg Roman. Greg Roman's a guy that got the most out of Kaepernick, the most out of Tyrod Taylor. He got Lamar Jackson an MVP. I'm not so quick to shit on the offensive coordinator that helped get him an NFL MVP and point fingers to him rather than just say Lamar Jackson is just flat out not making the same throws downfield that he did last year.
when you look at Greg Roman and as far as like his offense for the last decade or so, they're always in the bottom half of teams in the NFL with passing rate. Like that's just what they do, right? Like he wants to run the football. There's a reason why J.K. Dobbins had 100 yards, why Gus Edwards had 80 yards and a touchdown. Like they want to run the ball. And Lamar obviously had, what, 70 or 80 yards rushing too. Like this is a team that is completely content, which is why they can't play from behind, but completely content to just run the air out of the ball all game.
I mean, he threw a pick six on that first drive. That's a killer.
Right.
That could potentially be a 14-point swing.
Yep.
I mean, credit to them for actually staying in it, because you do that against that defense when you're a not-so-good team like the Cleveland Browns. That game was over when Baker did that on the first drive. Lamar battled them back, but there's more turnovers. You don't trust him in the same way. He's just not making the same plays. There isn't a good explanation for it. Either he caught lightning in a bottle, or you give him time and he'll tap back into that and have an opportunity to play himself back up to his averages. But he's not the same sort of player, and I'm struggling to explain why.
Mike, on the road bend situation, he threw 24 yards in the first half. Threw for 24 yards in the first half. Think about that. And then they were talking, I was reading, I think it was Diana Rossini who was reporting on it. They basically in the second half said, all right, Ben, just draw plays in the huddle. Like if we're playing out at Tamiami Park, like you run this way, you run a drag, you run a post. All right, let's do it. And they came back when he had 170 yards in that second half. It's just the Pittsburgh Steelers are such an interesting case because they have a really good core around Ben, but Ben almost is just somehow holding on to like a really good team. And I just can't explain why.
I still take the Chiefs. I still take Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, for sure.
I'm not talking myself to anybody. And I know the Chiefs lost.
Over the Steelers.
Yeah. I know the Chiefs lost at home to the Raiders, which is one of the more inexplicable losses of the season. Well, the Raiders seem to be pretty good on the road. I can attest. I'm not talking myself into the Steelers, especially without Deion Bush. I'm just always going to take Patrick Mahomes. I think Patrick Mahomes is honestly just playing with his prey. When he loses to the Raiders or when he goes to overtime with the Chargers, I think Patrick Mahomes just wants to go down the field, that he's not taking some of the singles. He's going for the home runs, as Mina explained to me on one of the big series.
Right now.
In a playoff game, you saw that guy was down multiple scores that entire run in the postseason. It was just so easy for him.
Right.
Until I see that guy actually lose again in the postseason, I'm not going to believe it can happen because he's just the best player in the NFL.
I understand what you're saying. I think I'd take the Steelers. The Steelers have been overwhelming, Mike. Like, they're really good.
I'm just not. Because in that game, so far the Steelers have been so good. So good. They've been able to dictate the pace of the game, and they haven't asked much for Ben Roethlisberger. Their defense, I don't care who you are. Like, Patrick Mahomes is going to have to force that offense to put up points.
Right.
He's going to have to. I'll go to my grave saying that, and I just don't think where the Steelers have found success this year is that they're not asking Big Ben to do that stuff. Because Big Ben has proven time and time again, if you start asking him at this stage in his career, he's going to turn the ball over. He is.
I mean, Tony, they beat the Titans and the Ravens on the road back-to-back weeks. I mean, the Titans were undefeated when they got there.
Well, I understand. Look, it's a losing battle right now, arguing that they're not the same team on the road when they have two really impressive wins at Tennessee and at Baltimore. But I'm just always going to go down fighting. I'll always take Patrick Mahomes in a fight. Always.
Will you?
Always.
I'll take Mick Cronin.
Good shout.
Chris, I want to ask you an honest question. Are you starting to think, like, really? Because the Dolphins are a good team. We don't know about Tua yet, but are you starting to have some maybe playoff thoughts, deep run in the playoff thoughts, perhaps maybe even a Super Bowl thought will seep into your brain every now and then? Be honest. It's okay.
I'm not going to say a Super Bowl thought has creeped into my brain. I mean, with the new playoff format this season, I was thinking playoffs with Fitzpatrick before we made the move.
Right.
But I'm going to need to see something from Tua before I start thinking we can, like, actually, I think we can make the playoffs with Tua, even if he's just whatever. But if you want me to, like, say we're going to make a run in the playoffs, I need to see some more from Tua. I will admit that.
Can I ask you this? It was a weird game. Dolphins got off to a quick start. The Rams, clearly Jared Goff, in the spirit of everyone down here in Florida, found a nightclub and went out to it and spent a good deal of time at that nightclub. Like everyone else, okay? Would you have preferred, honestly here, I was thinking about this last night, would you have preferred that Jared Goff not be hungover, okay, and the Dolphins lose a 35-34 shootout because that game got out of hand. There was a special teams touchdown. There was a defensive touchdown. And for those reasons, you couldn't really see Tua sling the ball around the field. If I told you Dolphins lose that game 35-34, but you know you have a quarterback for the next 10 years, would you have rather that yesterday than what you got?
I mean, there's no way after one impressive game I would know that he's going to be good for the next decade. So this is like a weird hypothetical. Yeah, yeah. So I'm just going to – Billy tried to do this to me earlier. I'm good with what happened yesterday. The defense played well. We got to – like, if our defense turns out that they're good and Tua's just a managing quarterback this season, I'm good with that.
This is what I ask him, Stugatz. Would you rather be the Bengals where Joe Burrow seems to be good and you lose a bunch of games – or make it to the playoffs and have no idea what Tua is?
It's a great question. Chris, I guess what I'm asking is, would you have rather had the Justin Herbert game, where you know he's great, but they lost to the Broncos, than the game you got yesterday, where you just know your team's good, but you don't know who the quarterback is?
I don't know Justin Herbert's great, okay? He's got a big arm. We've seen big arms before, okay?
Chris, stop. He's great.
Okay? He's great? You're willing to put your name on great. Great.
I'm lining up. I was wrong. I didn't like him out of college. I was wrong.
He's got a good, big arm. Man. I don't know about great.
He's hey, how do you know that Herbert's great and don't know if Lamar Jackson is great?
I know Lamar's great.
Yeah, I know he's great.
I'm just saying, Lamar clearly won the MVP last year. Lamar was great. There are concerning things in his game this season that I can't explain. I just can't. I have faith in Justin Herbert's ability to throw downfield. That's like the jaw-dropping part of his game. I don't have that same sort of confidence in Lamar Jackson anymore because the numbers are telling me different.
Who would you take, Lamar Jackson?
Or Justin Herbert?
Or Justin Herbert.
Right now?
God, I don't know. I
would take Justin Herbert.
Wow!
I think I would, too.
I would take Justin Herbert.
Oh, my God.
Right.
I'll stand. I'll take Lamar Jackson. I'll take that stand.
I'm taking Tua. That's who I'm taking.
Oh, Lord.
I'm not certain I wouldn't take Justin Herbert over Mahomes.
And I know what you're hearing is like me being a hater when I take Justin Herbert over Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's an MVP. I just think that Justin Herbert looks that impressive. For year one, I'm like, holy shit, this guy can get so much
better.
He's
played like six games.
He's
been great in every single one.
It's Marino-like, Bill. I'm serious.
He's been incredible.
He's a reigning MVP.
Yeah, well, I've seen Lamar Jackson be unimpressive. I haven't seen Justin Herbert be unimpressive yet.
No, Billy, I think here's the thing. It's six games, right? Oh, hold on. I'm getting the stats right now. It's six games. It's 15 touchdowns. It's five interceptions. But here's the thing that I don't think he – like in college, he was like this big statue, and he didn't appear to be very mobile.
No, that's not the case.
Is that am I wrong?
He played college football at Oregon. You can't run that offense without being some sort of athlete.
All right, but you didn't know he could run like this, did you? Like this.
I knew he could run like this. What's
this really, this is less surprising. His running ability is less surprising than Josh Allen's, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Josh Allen has the most surprising mobility,
okay.
I think, because he was just never asked to run. Okay. Justin Herbert was asked to run, and he flashed that athleticism. Come on, man. He's running the Oregon offense.
That's fair.
For me, it's the he would show occasionally, like he could throw these downfield dimes and it'd be like, wow, that guy has an NFL future. It's a consistency so far with Justin Herbert. That's what's blowing me away, because I was like, yeah, this guy can convince you he's like the next great quarterback, but then he'll make some inexplicable turnovers or he'll miss open receivers downfield. He'll overthrow them by 15 yards, and you're like, where's the guy that I saw the last game? But so far in the NFL, he's shown that he can improve and be consistent.
I love Chris so badly not wanting to be the guy that bashes Tua today, where I'm telling you right now, if the Chargers called you and you were running the Dolphins and they said, hey, we're going to give you Herbert, you give us Tua, you'd do it in a heartbeat.
No, they wouldn't. Brian Flores would not do that.
Yes,
optics.
He would.
You just can't make that move. Even if he would want to, he wouldn't.
I'm not saying he would. You would, is what I'm saying.
No, I wouldn't. I'm not saying that. I honestly am not prepared to say that. I'm not going to go off of five games for Justin Herbert. Like, I'm going to need a bigger sample. I'm not saying that you're wrong,
right,
but I don't think you can say for sure that you know. Like, I'm pretty sure Jamarcus Russell had, like, six good games at some point.
No,
never.
I'm just trying to think, who's the other guy? Like, who's the draft prospect bust with a huge arm besides – is there a more recent one than Jamarcus Russell?
Probably Josh Allen. I don't know. I'm so confused by him.
Right.
It's been so weird. But I'm not going to do the thing. Like, I think Josh Allen just wants us to lull all of us into into calling him bad again. Yes. And then he'll just rip off these great performances all over again.
Are you looking for big arm bust though, like recent ones? Sam Darnold.
I need one for my Herbert.
Sam Darnold, problem there?
He's part of the problem. He's not good.
He's very clearly not the solution.
He's definitely not the solution.
Right. Sort of like Baker Mayfield in that he's an answer, but maybe not the answer. And if you can get a better shot at the answer, you go with that.
Yes, 100%.
Is it like a Tannehill thing where he's going to be good if he goes somewhere else?
I have no doubt that he will. Yes.
That could be the Baker thing, too. I could see Baker going somewhere else and being good.
Well, he's surrounded with so much talent in Cleveland.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, you get him in a different system. I think Baker could be good.
Right now, his starting tight end has an appendectomy. Kareem Hunt is hurt. He's got no Nick Chubb. His best offensive lineman is out. Right. He's got no Odell Beckham Jr. And you're seeing that maybe Odell Beckham Jr. is better than Rashad Higgins.
Right.
Just by a little bit. Jarvis Landry's got busted ribs. It's difficult right now for Baker Mayfield, who himself has cracked ribs.
I mean, Justin Herbert's trotting out there with, you know, Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Justin Jackson. It's not great. That's all I'm saying.
Those are two really good receivers in Williams and Keenan Allen.
Burrow trots out there with literally nothing. Yeah. Look at that guy. Yeah, that guy's good. Burrow might be the best of all of them. I don't know. What's that?
T. Higgins is nice, though.
He is. But is Burrow making him nice? I don't know. You know?
What's the best receiving core in the NFL? It's the Seahawks, right?
Tyler Lockett.
Did you see that DK fucking?
No, I'd go Tampa. I'd go Tampa.
Oh, Atlanta.
Evans, Antonio Brown, Scotty Miller, and Godwin.
Yeah.
And plus all the tight ends.
I feel like every GM that didn't draft DK Metcalf should be fired. Like, what were you missing on DK Metcalf, GM?
Cone drill. He ran the cone drill. How could that guy be bad at a cone drill? Tom Brady had a better cone drill in the combine than DK Metcalf. How?
Did you see that move yesterday where he took it up the sideline?
He's ridiculous.
Chris, you can do that everywhere.
Bomani had a great take on Twitter, which is, yes, there are bad NFL executives, but for him to go at the very end of the second round, perhaps we should just throw into the equation that DK Metcalf has improved tremendously.
Yeah, maybe. Coaching, right, and he's worked hard. 10 teams passed on Patrick Mahomes, right? A bunch of teams. Everyone passed on Lamar Jackson, correct? I mean, 15 teams. Four of which even needed a quarterback, right?
The Ravens passed on him.
Right. That's such a difficult hypothetical that Billy threw out there with Herbert and Lamar Jackson. It's really tough.
I think it should be the show's theme today. I already texted Mina, then I realized it's 6 a.m. where she is.
It's tough. And I personally hate it because no matter what, I feel like my answer is going to be wrong either way because I've been wrong on both those guys. They both ended up being a lot better than I thought they would be in the NFL.
It's a more nuanced discussion, right? Because you need to have the scheme to fit both of those players.
Here's my concern with Lamar Jackson. When he's behind and his offense becomes predictable, as with most quarterbacks in the NFL, by the way, unless you're an alien, he becomes predictable and defenses can play him. And obviously, you've seen what happened in the playoffs. He looks bad. But Justin Herbert, guy can't play with a lead now. It's like the exact opposite. They've blown 16-point leads for the last 4 weeks.
Wait, so we're agreeing you take Patrick Mahomes over everyone, right?
Yes, he's to a tier to himself.
And then after that, you take Russell Wilson over everyone.
Yes.
And then it gets dicey for me.
Then it's still Aaron Rodgers for me after that. And then it's
by the way,
else.
How shot you fully expected Aaron Rodgers to finish that game off yesterday, did you not?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, I was shocked when he didn't. He was shocked when he didn't.
Yeah, well, shell shock. That was a hell of a hit that he caught.
That was a hell of a hit. So we go Rodgers. He's the definitive.
He's not, definitive number three.
Well, that's where I'm going. I'm not certain I wouldn't take Herbert over Rodgers right now. I mean, that's how I love Justin Herbert or Lamar Jackson for that matter.
That's actually an easier conversation, I think, at this point than Lamar Jackson because Lamar Jackson is still young. If you take Justin Herbert over Aaron Rodgers, you could even concede that Aaron Rodgers is better. Hell, Aaron Rodgers right now may be a better player than Justin Herbert may ever be, but you're signing up for a decade plus of Justin Herbert, where Aaron Rodgers is obviously at the end of his career or nearing the end of his
career. How long do we go before we get to Kyler Murray? Holy shit, every team has an NFL quarterback except for mine. I mean, it's unbelievable. The quarterback play has never been better. It's amazing. The Bengals have one.
Dude, Deshaun Watson or Herbert?
I was going to say, I mean, you left out Deshaun. Yet if there was a healthy Dak, where would he be?
I'll take Deshaun Watson over Herbert.
This is me too.
I'll take Deshaun. Yeah. I forget Deshaun because they've been so bad this year. that he, he's easy to forget. Yeah, well, they traded his best receiver. I'll take Deshaun.
Explicably.
Yeah, Deshaun's probably the next guy in that tier.
Probably. I think you're right. Tannehill, no, we go a while before we get to Tannehill. He's played so well the last 2 years. Holy shit. I think I want Justin.
Kyler.
I think I want Herbert over everyone, though.
I'm going Deshaun over Herbert.
Guys, here, this will help my argument.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I would take Brady over everyone. Sorry.
Tua's touchdown pass to Devontae Parker was the smallest window TD throw in the NFL this season, according to Next Gen Stats. There was only 0.28 yards of separation.
Chris, he got tackled.
It was 6 yards.
Tackled in the end zone.
Yeah, guts. It was a DPI and was 6 yards away.
He was like backwards.
Pinpoint accuracy.
From six yards away.
The best throw he made was the one to Gesicki over the top on the left side, and it got batted down.
Anticipation.
That was a really good throw.
Anticipation.
Are you just saying? What are you
was
doing
his A-dot?
Guts.
Guts was his A-dot?
He better show. He better show more than guts if they're taking Trevor Lawrence in 3 months. I mean.
It was a more impressive catch than a throw. There, I said it.
Didn't Dak have one that was like ridiculous in a window this year?
Get out of here with that.
What was that? Yeah,
look
what
at
was
that
window.
Yeah, that one was good.
Tell me what window that was, Chris.
And that wasn't 6 yards.
Nah, that was 0.30. This one was 0.28.
You're making that up. I don't believe you. I think I'd take Dak pre-injury, I'd take over Justin Herbert. I'm still trying to map out this
Dak
tier.
Dak pre-injury over... No, I'd take Herbert over Dak pre-injury. Jones would.
The hell is Carson Wentz doing? Other than killing my fantasy team? The guy has like 58 fumbles in 60 games.
That game yesterday was just...
Oh, just crap to watch. And... all of them have playoff consequences, so they're never going to get flexed out. That and they're in massive media markets. But we're going to be doing this thing where the Giants and Cowboys are going to be ruining my Sunday nights for the foreseeable future.
15-27 for 123 yards. Carson Wentz. That Fulgham kid is good, though, man. I bring him up every week because he's on my fantasy team and he scores for me every week.
Every week. I just, with my arms folded across my belly, trying to figure out, so you took Jalen Hurts in the first round. You did the hard thing already. Who cares about his feelings? Like, let's see something else. Because I know I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but unlike Cleveland, where the option is Case Keenum, they got Jalen Hurts. They got the first-round quarterback. So if they have another option, go to it. Cleveland doesn't have the other option.
Yeah, but maybe they don't think that option's good enough. I mean,
why draft him then?
Are they telling you that?
Well, I mean, they could be admitting that he's not as good, and you have to trust what they see. They also gave Carson Wentz this monstrous contract.
I mean, they're first place.
They're first place.
In a lousy division.
That's what they're doing.
Right. I mean,
that's what they're doing.
And that tie. Oh, that tie. Oh, you mocked him for the tie.
We were so close to another tie yesterday. I was rooting for another tie just so you could have that take for another set of teams in Chicago and New Orleans. I was pissed when I saw that field goal go in.
That's what the Saints do. That's the recipe on the road. At home, blow you out offense. On the road, just enough.
We have a massive, primetime Sunday game. Because I don't know if you've seen the really cool thing. It's going to happen again tonight. The rest of the season is just Tom Brady and Drew Brees setting the new record every touchdown pass. You're witnessing history every time you watch Drew Brees go back to pass. Because yesterday, he took the lead back from Tom Brady for most passing touchdowns. Tonight, Tom Brady probably resetting the record. And next week, they face off head-to-head. So you can have, like, every single drive in that game, someone is setting the record for all-time NFL passing touchdowns.
NBC got Saints and Bucks, and ESPN, our company that we love very much, who paid billions of dollars for the rights to the Monday Night Football, they got the Patriots and Jets.
Oh! Massive sports weekend for NBC. NBC has found itself with the biggest college football game of the year.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest NFL game of the year.
The Chiefs Ravens one though, right? They had that too.
Monday Night Football had that.
Oh, that's
right. But we'll hype up Saints Bucks to be Look, man, every pass is going to be a historic NFL pass.
I'll go to week 10 real quick and see what's going on.
They got Clemson, Notre Dame, and Saints, Bucks. It's a hell of a week.
The next week, it's Ravens, Patriots for NBC, Vikings, Bears for ESPN. Push.
They're going to flex out that Patriots Ravens game. You got to think.
Yeah.
They should.
They have to. Flexing out the Patriots, huh?
I low key love it.
Stu, what about the added element of Antonio Brown coming in next Sunday? All of a sudden, he's got, you know, seven catches, 120 yards, and a touchdown.
I know.
Things change a little bit.
I know. Things change a lot. What do you mean? And I got him in my fantasy team. It's very
so AB's not going to be out there tonight?
No.
No.
He can't play tonight. He's not eligible.
Oh, he's still suspended.
Yeah. He's got one more week.
The strangest stat I saw yesterday was after losing to the Vikings, the Packers have now lost seven straight games on the week of the daylight savings time change.
Hmm.
I wish I knew that before I hammered the Packers yesterday. I mean, it obviously doesn't mean anything, right? Like, there's no actuality behind that stat, but it's just, if I would have known it, I wouldn't have hammered the Packers as much as I did.
I hammered the Packers yesterday.
Also, Dalvin Cook's four touchdowns had a little bit to do with it.
Yeah, he could do that to you.
I can't stop calling Rashard Higgins Rashad. And he's on my team.
Is there a Rashad Higgins somewhere?
I think didn't the Miami Dolphins have a Rashad Higgins? Is that what I'm doing?
I think so.
I think that's what I'm doing. That's why you just go Hollywood on that guy, man.
Yeah, but Hollywood Brown now. So it's like, which Hollywood?
Same division.
Mike, still you got. I had Auburn. I had Georgia Tech plus 20. I had Cincinnati minus 6.5. I had Ohio State minus 12.5. And I had Rutgers.
I killed college football. I Premier League soccer. And then I lost my ass in the NFL. Lost my ass.
I didn't do badly in the NFL. I was just making the point that that play was the difference between a 5-0 week for me.
Oh, congratulations.
And that play, I'm sorry, it was so impressive. I don't care about the penalties. That play should have counted anyway. I mean,
Billy, where are we with Chrissy the Greek? I saw somewhere on Twitter that had the Saints covered, he might have had an immaculate 5-0 week. Is he back?
Yeah, he's back. Tied Colin, though. 4-1 and 4-1.
Colin got hot. We'll take that, though.
4-1. All right.
That's good, though.
Listen, regardless of what Colin does, every week he'll tell you he was 4-1. So it doesn't matter.